Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome, welcome, welcome in. It is hour three, the third hour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. You guys know what that means. I'm joined by my friendo, Casey Bubba. You can follow him on the Twitter, at BDentric. Casey, what's going on, man?
Not much, my friend. Just another beautiful Saturday. Going to talk some sports because we have some live sports, some interesting stories to talk about, but lots of laughs to share, I have a feeling. Lots and lots of laughs.
Right, exactly. So I just don't even know what to think about baseball anymore because it's one day they are saying, hey, there's no way we're playing. The next day it's, yeah, we're really close. And then the next day, no, we're not close at all. This is dead on arrival. And I'm just so sick of the arguing back and forth in baseball. And I know I'm not the only one, and I know it's not a, you know, surprising take from anyone, but I think finally I'm almost ready to just stop paying attention. You know what I mean? Just stop paying attention and go, you know what? You tell us when there's going to be baseball. Quit negotiating this in public. Just tell us when we can watch. That's all I want. But, you know, everyone is disgusted with the owners. And if it's seriously like six games, I'll be disgusted by both sides that they can't get this done. Just get it done and go play. So, Bubba, I know that you are a fiery guy. I haven't looked and said me? No, not me. You know, you're a fiery guy. You have your opinions and you let people know what they are on Twitter. So what have you been saying about all of this baseball stuff? Because I'm not the best at the Twitter machine.
Oh, it's just it's a string of comical errors left and right by everybody involved. Tony Clark needs to go. I've said that from the get-go. I think he's worthless as the MLBPA because, you know, there's a deal that the owners put out that looks all gravy and great for 60 games. And then it goes back, and a lot of the players, there's rumblings that have come out already talking about that this isn't what the players wanted. So tell me what Tony Clark's doing. This is comical. So that's not going to work very well. A lot of the players literally do want to play. Like the when and where was not a joke, but Tony Clark and some other hands are in the cookie jar, agents and whatnot that are getting in the way. So that needs to get fixed. I believe there'll be baseball. I got feisty with some people. I'm just over people coming with the negative connotations. Like, well, this. I get it. I'm not stupid. I got you. But as you can tell, my glass is over half full. So we're good there. And we're going to keep playing baseball because we're going to have baseball this year. It's going to happen. It's going to be 60 to 65 games. They're going to play. Just everyone's trying to get that little extra carrot on the top. But, man, with all the stuff that is going on around the country, why are we arguing about stinking baseball when we have no control over it? It blows my freaking mind. Because in the end, we all want to watch baseball. We all want it on TV. We all want to play fantasy or even – like. Honestly, I'm going to play fantasy. We've talked about it many times. I don't even care, though. If we just get to watch baseball, that's all I care about. I just bring back what we love. And people are arguing about everything. Everybody is on edge about anything going on these days. But we are going to get baseball. By the time you listen to this, there might be baseball. So just remember, it's going to happen. It's just every side's trying to get it. And the craziest thing that's come out lately is the players and their leadership are not on the same page, which terrifies me. For the next CBA negotiations, someone might have to change powers there or it'll never get done.
Well, I think you're right. Tony Clark is gone after this year, because this has been such a disaster and not really his fault either. I know a lot of people didn't like him going into this before this. And obviously you're in that group, but it's, you know, it's the owners playing bully right now is what's going on. And the big issue that we've been having as far as Major League Baseball goes. But I don't know, man. The worst take that I can see on anything, and it's not just baseball. I've seen it pissed me off this morning when I woke up and I saw, you know, a bunch of the Texas Longhorns have COVID, right? They said, like, I think 17 players have it. So the very first comment underneath that, and the first comment is always a terrible.
Best. Always the best.
Yeah, the best to look at and laugh. But this one I saw, and it just made me mad because so many people have this thought process, and it just says, they aren't playing this year anyway. Yeah. That was the first thing. And that might be right. It might be right. But that person isn't putting that on Twitter or, you know, in the comment section of an article or anything because they actually think that. The reason that people are saying that there's going to be no season is so when and if there is no season, they can go back and say, I told you. Yeah. I told you so. You know, it's making receipts for something they probably don't even believe in right now. And that's really the thing that aggravates me. If you really believe there's going to be no season, like our friend Ariel Cohen from the beginning has said, look, I hope I'm wrong. I pray to be wrong, but I don't think there's going to be a baseball season this year because of COVID.
Yeah, but he said it was because of COVID, like you said.
Right.
That's the thing. I was always fine. If it was because of COVID, sure. But the fact they're arguing about money, that's when it's just like, okay, you've lost a lot of people that way. And you mentioned the football deal. I'm actually glad. Like, I'm not glad people are getting sick and they're going to be fine, but I'm glad these things are happening because there is never, ever going to be any type of sport that's going to be played where someone doesn't get something.
Right, but there, right, exactly.
But there's no need to just shut down the world to fix it. So this is a great time to figure out how to solve these problems before the seasons happen. So that's a good thing. Like, we should start looking at the good in things instead of the negative and everything. And trust me, I can give you the negative in a lot of things. But let's try to, like, look at a little glimmer of hope out here. And I hate those people that just want to be, like you said, the first one to tell you, no, no, no. It's, you know what, if that's your attitude, and I've said it, I've tweeted about it for baseball. I said, when that season comes back and you're an analyst, you do not get to type. Like, sorry, you're not allowed to say anything. Like, it makes me so angry how people, like, so adamant on, you know, trying to bring everybody down. But the second we get something, they're going to be first in line to be like, okay, let's do it. All excited again. It's like, you know what? No, go leave in the corner now.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. And look, I fired you up to the point where you're cursing. So yeah, I love it. Hey, look, I would rather take, I'd rather take passionate than I don't care about this anymore. Let's quit talking about it, you know, which look, and I understand that, you know, kind of, what do you call it? Fatigue, you know, that type of fatigue on baseball, especially now that it's, you know, it's all up and it's all down and it's all up and it's all down. Like, you just, the thing that I don't mind on Twitter is the comment, I'll believe it when I see it. That's fine.
That's fine.
And more than acceptable. So, you know, that type of an attitude towards something like this is fine, but I don't like there's not going to be a season anyway. Because I mean, what are you going to go back? Are we going to go back and, you know, shove it in the guy's face when there is a season? No, maybe. We don't care. Maybe. I mean, yeah.
Maybe.
But you're like, oh, I'm keeping these receipts pretty close here. So yeah, maybe. But I tell you what, something that you and I have to talk about. Welsh and I talked about this on the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast already. It was kind of fresh, and it was before Miguel Sano had said anything about it. But there was apparently, I don't know all the details. I read through some of it. It's very confusing, this situation. But I guess Miguel Sano and some of his friends kidnapped a guy, drove him out into the middle of nowhere, and said, you're going to get me money, or we're going to kill you, or something. I don't know. And my question is, like, if this guy doesn't have this type of money, why are they asking him for money? Number two, why is Miguel Sano asking anyone for money? He has money. So
I don't think he was.
Yeah, I don't think he was either.
No, I think they were asking Miguel Sano for money, or they were going to tell the story because they wanted money from him. He's acting like they're trying to, like, blackmail him.
Okay, so why don't you, I think you have a firmer grip on this than I do.
Yeah, I could be totally wrong as well, but basically what happens is what I've been reading as well is Miguel Sano and his buddies decided to kidnap this guy, beat him up a bit, and he got away or they let him go. There's rumors that this guy molested his younger cousin.
Right.
And so there's a little bit of anger behind that, some animosity. But Miguel's denying any of this ever happened because he's saying that they're bringing this to light after the fact that the lawyer has already asked for money, about 170 grand American dollars. It was like 10 million pesos or something. Right. And they wanted money from Miguel, and Miguel's like, I'm not paying you. You're just trying to extort me, basically, because we never did this. So it's their story versus his. And it's just another, I'm not going to say a black eye because he's maybe innocent. We never know. Right. But it's just another thing. He already had the issues in the minor leagues with women and all these other things. He finds himself in troubled spots way too often.
Yeah, weight issues as well.
And well, I'm not going to be – I can't talk on that.
Well, neither can I, but we're also not getting paid what Miguel Sano.
True, was, I would lose a lot of weight if I got paid $30 million.
Yes. Exactly. I could skip a couple Taco Bell, McDonald's trips, yes, stuff like that. If I'm getting paid what Miguel Sano is getting paid, for sure. Yeah, you're right. It's a very, very strange situation that's going on over there. And, we've seen kidnapping stuff before in Venezuela is more known for it, though. Remember, Wilson Ramos was kidnapped, of course. And then Miguel Cabrera, I believe, paid to have him released because they were buddies. I think it was Miguel Cabrera. I might be mixing him up with someone else. But I remember Wilson Ramos getting taken. Mm-hmm. Miguel Cabrera paying a ransom and then him being let go. That was in Venezuela. So, it's weird to see this happen in the Dominican now, but obviously it looks like this is just a big extortion ring. And, Welsh and I were talking about Man on Fire, and that was, I remember pulling that one time. Because when that Wilson Ramos was fresh, I'm like, this is the most high profile Ramos to go missing since Peter Ramos in Man on Fire. And I can't remember the podcast I was on. It might have been Friends with Fantasy Benefits. I think it's someone that isn't there anymore. They were like, how did you pull that? And I was like, well, I've seen Man on Fire like a million times. Right?
Bogman doesn't go to sleep till 4 a.m. TNT or TBS has it on at least once or twice a week.
That's right. Yeah. And HBO and Showtime and all that. It's going to be on there at least once. So I'm watching that. I'm doing. Have you watched Avenue 5 on HBO?
No. Is that something I need to watch?
I think so. It's about, it's in the future, and it's about like a cruise liner spaceship going around Saturn. Oh, is this the one with
Hugh Lowry in them?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Zach, yes. I need to watch that. Yes.
Zach right. Woods is in it too. But yes, it's basically a whatever can go wrong will go wrong in this scenario. So to me, it's basically like, if 2020 was happening on a spaceship, right? That's pretty much what it is. If anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. And I saw someone the other day posted, and I thought this was a great, I think it was Neil Brennan on Twitter. What he posted was something along the lines of, people are going to say 2020 as crazy. Like, that's going to be the phrasing moving forward in the future. So it's going to be like, I don't think I'd go down that dark alley, because it gets a little 2020. Somewhere in the middle over there. You know what I mean? He's not wrong.
No, people are going to
say, you know that other countries say, I know it's somewhere in Europe. I think it's in Sweden or Switzerland or somewhere where instead of saying crazy, they say that's Texas. that's already slang. So
that's funny.
I will not be surprised at all if they say that stuff about, if they say that about 2020 in the future here. But Avenue 5, pretty solid watch if you haven't seen it quite yet. But
I said the full transformation and DirecTV. I'm on YouTube TV now. We're going to pay for the HBO Showtime and all that, and still a lot cheaper than DirecTV. And so far, so good on that. So I'll be having to check out that Avenue 5 for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to have to sell a kidney to afford my cable bill once all the sports come back. Yeah. Because I haven't been charging for baseball or I think basketball. Yeah, I might have been done with my basketball charges, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, the five payments of $1,400 a piece. It's probably pretty close to being done by now. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you saw in the last mock, but I named it mock 1000.0.
Yeah, I saw that. That was good.
And Welsh was like, when's our next mock? I'm like, we're not doing anymore. This is it.
This is it.
We've got football mocks coming up, and I'm sick of editing these things. So
we did mock draft May. We're in almost the end of June now. Like,
right. Yeah. I mean, look, we started mock. Our first mock was in November. So, November, we had, I think, two in December, a couple in January, February, March, April, May, June. We don't get this much ramp up time. Like
the season doesn't last this long.
Right now, we might be doing like a mid-season redraft something.
Yeah, the All-Star breaks around the corner.
Right, right, exactly. So, but it's what people like. So we, of course, will do more mock drafts, and we got football ones coming up this week too. We have a Superflex Dynasty or a Superflex mock that we're going to do. We just did our Dynasty show with Brandon Funston over on the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. But before we go to break here, we got about 2.5 minutes left, Bubba. I just want to hear your overall thoughts on Christian Hackenberg attempting a comeback, just a career in baseball. Now, I know that he pitched a little in high school, but I did read, and I don't know if it's true because it was just in the comments of something on Twitter or Reddit or something, but it was Hackenberg was 1-3 with a 7 ERA in high school. So I don't understand why he could think that he could possibly become a major league pitcher just because he was a quarterback in the NFL for a couple seasons.
It's one of those things probably where, you know, I'm an athlete. I can do whatever I can. I still got some more bullets in the gun, but I threw in high school. I pitched in slow pitch softball. I don't even think I have a 7 ERA. So that's pretty impressive for Hackenberg there. I'd like to see him give it a shot and just get shellacked and realize he can't. Like, the only thing I'm guessing is he owes some mob boss a lot of money and he needs to get paid somewhere. And he has no brain to do it because he went to Penn State, so he never went to class.
Oh,
I had to throw up Penn State. He just went to college. He didn't go to class. And he played for the Jets. So a year with Adam Gase will warp your brain. There's just nothing good that's going to come from Hackenberg right now. I thought there was hope for him in the AFL, but then or the XFL or wherever it was, and that fell apart. But he's not the next Drew Henson. Yeah, I just don't see how this is going to work. You put that on the outline, and I'm like, what the heck is this? And I clicked on the link, and I'm like, this can't be real. Oh, no, he's serious. But he looks like he has a gigantic form of douchebaggery in his video there that would explain why he thinks he can pitch. So I'm going to say it ain't going to work very well.
Yeah, I can't imagine that this works very well at all for him. It's kind of a ridiculous premise. And it's just like, hey, you know what? I was a pilot. Now I'll be a submarine commander.
Hey, but then again, if Tim Tebow gets a shot, Hackenberg probably will too.
Sure, sure. I mean, Tim Tebow, way, way, way more popular. But
and way, way worse probably. So
and just better at – I think he's better at baseball than Hackenberg was because he actually played in high school and stuff and was good. But and he's hit homers and stuff. He's been okay, but he's a – he's a minor leaguer. He's never going to make it to the majors with his sound. But we got to hit a break. When we come back, we'll be talking about the NFL a little bit. Definitely some interesting stories over there. Zeke, of course, we got to talk about him. But stick with us. We'll be right back after this. It's Sports Grid. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old
In This League.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. So much fun. We're having so much fun here. I'm here with Casey Lubba at Mediantric on the Twitter machine. And Casey, plug all the stuff and things that you have coming up.
All the stuff and things. Bench with Bubba, still going strong. Couple episodes a week. I might start doing some football with it as well. But baseball for now, I usually wait for football for like another month. But a lot to talk about in baseball. Yeah. So we're gonna start that one a little earlier. But yeah, a couple episodes this week. Had James Anderson recap of the draft. Had Chris Clegg on to talk some more baseball. So come check all that fun stuff out. Rotoballer, I'm going to start putting out some more articles. I took a little break because, again, not much to talk about. But golf is going strong, so the always-pressing PGA DFS pods out there for all you golf fans. Other than that, just hanging out and doing stuff and things on the Twitter at BDintric.
That's right. That's right. Lots of stuff coming up. We're going back to two football next week. We'll see if we're going to stick with two baseball, too. I don't know what's happening. But we will have two football episodes this week. So we're getting back into the swing of things. And let's talk about some football. Did you see that Lamar Jackson is going to be on the cover of the new Madden game?
It's only fitting. Honestly, it was between him and Mahomes probably. And yeah, put Lamar on there. What's it? Triz? Is that what we're going with? Is that the word that he patented? So I think it makes sense. Yeah, he patented a name. Yeah, Truz. I'm sorry.
Oh, Big Truz.
Truz. But it's Truz. Hashtag Truz. No, it makes sense. He's like the hype. The everybody likes him. It's hard not to enjoy him. It only makes sense when, you know, last year we talked about it week in and week out, recapping him and said he's basically playing a video game, like video game numbers out there. So put him on the cover of Madden. It makes a ton of sense. The kids will flock to it. He'll be a good ambassador of it because he'll embrace it. He already has embraced it. And I think it's a can't-miss move with Lamar. The more fun question is, how many times do you think Lamar makes the cover if he plays, like, 15 years?
Yeah, that – I mean, probably at least two or three times. I mean, because you can – you know, Pat Mahomes was on the cover last year.
Yes, so, can't go back-to-back.
Yeah, so I think, you know, Pat Mahomes obviously has a very good chance of going on again. I honestly don't know if they repeat, though.
I don't remember off the top of my head if they do. It doesn't feel like they do. Because, come on, like Mike Allstott or
I know. What was the other? Peyton Hillis.
Peyton Hillis, yes. I was thinking Browns. I'm like, white Browns running back. Who was it?
Yep. Yeah, Peyton Hillis definitely got the cover for a year and was probably the worst cover athlete on Madden. He had one good year, right? Yeah. So that was – he was – him and Toby Gerhart, you know, they weren't built like Christian McCaffrey or anything. So
gym rats, they're gym rats though.
Yeah. They're scrappy gym rats. Yep. Exactly. So did you see the jet ski thing that happened with Lamar Jackson?
That guy's got some skills, some athletic abilities that I can only dream about or play in a video game. That's all I have to say. Cause if I was the owner or the coach of the Ravens though, wouldn't be happy.
If I was a Ravens fan, I wouldn't be happy. You know, me over here being a Steelers fan, I'm like, yeah, play all them beach games. Let's do all that stuff you want, Lamar. That's fine. I mean, of course, I don't hope he gets hurt, but
I'd rather him go to a party with Zeke Elliott and get COVID than be jumping that stuff.
Well, we talked about on the ITL Fantasy Football podcast earlier this week. We talked about, you know, those beach games. Do you remember Robert Edwards getting hurt?
Yeah.
And that's why they canceled they used to have like this, I think it was sophomore versus freshman, you know, guys in the NFL.
Like flag football.
Yeah, beach flag football game going on thing. And Robert Edwards tore his knee apart in that thing. Yeah. So,
there's a reason I don't reenact Top Gun's beach volleyball scene anymore. It's because of stuff like that.
Yeah, it's not because natural. You don't have the 12-pack like Tom Cruise.
No, I have a 12-pack. It's using the ice chest next to the court. It's just I just can't. It just wouldn't work very well. I was more the ice man, not the Cruise on the scene.
Oh, I see. So yeah. Goose or whatever, whatever his name was.
I was Doc Kilmer's character, Iceman.
Oh, Iceman. I see. I haven't seen that movie in so long. I tend to start forgetting stuff, but you're right. Zeke has COVID. Now, this whole situation was strange because, you know, you mentioned before in the last segment, right, where it's not surprising to see players test positive for COVID. You know, they're out in the world. This stuff is going to happen. It's not shocking. But when Zeke tested positive, you know, Von Miller had already been positive, and we know the whole Jay Glazer story of him, you know, pausing the whole NFL world to reveal major news. And it's that Brian Allen had, COVID-19. And I believe, the backup center for the Rams, or maybe even the starting center for the Rams. It doesn't really matter. But, he broke that story. And then a week later, Von Miller had it. And, you know, other players have had it. You know, Sean Payton has had it. So Zeke getting it, I think Zeke getting it and it starting to be fantasy football season has gotten the ball rolling on people possibly thinking that there's going to be a delay to the season. There's going to be weird stuff going on this year. We've heard Bruce Arians talk about potentially leaving a third quarterback or having them practice and do stuff in a bubble so that in case Brady and whoever it is, I can't even remember who's backing him up now. Brady and the backup, whoever it is, that they are away from that guy should something happen with the team and there's a COVID outbreak. So it's just bringing it to the forefront of all of this stuff. Now, the NFLPA has been fighting hard for expanded practice squads. They want four more spots on the practice squad because of COVID. And Zeke wasn't really happy that everyone knew that he got it. Then, you know, he tweeted out just HIPAA question mark, which is, you know, the doctor's Hippocratic oath to not tell anyone else, this person's symptoms and that kind of stuff. But from the news outlet that I saw, the people that were told, I think it was Ian Rappaport, was told through Zeke's agent. So yep. Zeke's agent knew, obviously he's not under the Hippocratic oath, so he could tell whoever he wants. And the media now knows, and you and I know, and everybody knows now. But what is your overall kind of outlook on the NFL with, you know, some weird restrictions? And we know, we mentioned it before, that players are just going to test positive. It's going to happen. They're out in the world.
First off, Tom Brady's backup, Blaine Gabbert. So have fun with that.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wow. But, it's going to be – everyone's going to – not everyone. A lot of people are going to get it, especially young people, because they know majority of them, especially athletes in shape, they're going to get it. They're going to move on. It's almost like it's not going to affect them, if anything, right. And they're going to be fine. So it's one of those deals. You just kind of deal with it and move and go. I'd rather them get it now and see how they can work around it. For fantasy purposes, it's just one of those things. Like I've talked about it about baseball, even in a shortened season, Trout's going to leave to go be with his wife and they have a baby. Does he have to quarantine for 14 days when he comes back or not? Like, does he miss half a season in theory because of that?
Just you have to wonder.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's how I felt about all of this, but these guys aren't doing it because I know people don't like the UFC, but even for golf, it's literally you get tested like once or twice a week. You're getting thermometer checks everywhere you go. If there's any little red flag, you're gone until the test comes back. It's simple. And then that's how Korea's doing it. That's how Japan's doing it. That's how all these like soccer teams, that's how they're all doing it. The soccer teams, okay, here's one. The NFL could start doing this now if they want. The soccer teams were having, once they started doing group practices, they were doing multiple tests a week. And they said each week two or three guys would come up positive, and then eventually it went away. But it's just a thing, like a process you have to go through just to see what's going to work, what's not going to work. Isolate the problem. Don't shut down the problem. For fantasy football, it's going to depend on what the protocol is for the NFL. Right now, I imagine it's going to be like these other sports where they just kind of shut, like some, if you get it, you're in your little bubble till you get better. Everyone else is going to keep playing. If that's the case, it is what it is, and there's really nothing you can do about it. Am I going to move Zeke down? No, I'm not going to at all unless I get some report that his lungs are messed up, because we've seen that some people, if you get it severe, if you get it severe enough, you can have lungs issues or whatever like that. Okay, sure. But for now, I'm not worried about it.
Yeah. What about someone brought up a great point. Oh, God, I wish I could remember who it was. It's in our football group me room. If you saw Bubba, I don't know. But it's not the Amy Schumer's Ben Roethlisberger picture that has been making me laugh.
At least 14 beers.
No beers, and I'm good.
Well, but, without the Ben Roethlisberger part, yeah, that'd be like 2 a.m., nothing left. Okay.
Anyway, like Amy Schumer would get up on us, you know. But anyway, the oh God, I think I forgot what I was. Oh. So it was the talking about specifically because of
you COVID. Are in love with Amy Schumer.
She's funny. You know, I know a lot of people don't think that she's very funny. I think she's
hilarious.
I think this whole bit with no makeup is actually kind of funny, but that it's like a behind the scenes thing. Whatever.
This is what you get to wake up with. Okay, sorry. COVID. Yeah.
Well, wait, she's rich too. That's fine by me. But how about expanded injury list in IR spots of COVID this year, like in your fantasy leagues? You know, and I know with Fantrax, you can put 8 million injury guys on there. You can literally have no limit, and you can have just all IR guys on your team if you wanted. But I know that Yahoo has restricted you in the past to only 5 tops. I know that with ESPN, they've had a limit. I don't play as much on ESPN, so I'm not 100% sure what the limit is. But we need to get that expanded, and sometimes these platforms don't like to put any more money or effort into what they're already doing because it is free already. So this could be a weird situation moving forward, but we got to get, like, what do you think? Like 10? Is 10 enough, or is that too many? Well, what's the right level of IR spots?
I guess 10 is fine, because in reality, outside of COVID, most guys, if they go on the IR, they're out for the season anyways. So it's not really a massive deal. But I agree it needs to be approached in a manner like that. I'm in a baseball chat room where we started discussing the same thing about maybe bigger benches. I like the idea of a bigger injury list, so you can't just store guys ahead of time, so at least there's guys on the wire still. Same for football. You can't just hoard a bunch of guys, so there's nothing out there. I think there needs to be something done, though. And it is frustrating, because that's one of the discussion points I've had in there, is Fantrax is doable with that. But these other sites, and we talked about it on the baseball show, these other sites need to start developing concepts for these different seasons right now, because we're in a different world of attacking things, and we're all going to keep playing things, but we need to be able to play it where it's still fun. And it's not going to be fun if all of a sudden, you know, 4 guys in a locker room get COVID and you have, you know, 3 of them because you decided to stack at a powerful offense. Say it's the Chiefs. Say something happens at Mahomes, Hill, and Kelsey. We're all having dinner Wednesday night and they all got it somewhere, and now you can't use them. Okay, that sucks. You couldn't have seen that coming. But if you can't put them on the IR and replace them, that sucks also, because you're not dropping them, and there needs to be a way to fix that.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, the part of fixing that might be just having a deeper bench this year too, because you may not be able to expand. So if you're in ESPN or Yahoo and they still are limiting IR spots, maybe you just add 4 or 5 extra rounds to your draft. And I know that takes more time and it's aggravating. It's a little more research and all that stuff for a lot of casual people. But, you know, if these are the parameters you're playing with, maybe you make your bench a little deeper, so everyone's taking a backup tight end and a second backup quarterback, or however the thought process may be in a situation like that, because you're not able to move your IR out anymore. And they might have already changed it. I haven't gone and looked. All I'm saying is I know in the past that there has been some issues as far as making it more IR, more IL spots in baseball as well. Last football thing I want to talk about, and we'll be talking about, I really want to talk about the NBA and Kyrie Irving specifically in the last segment of the show here. But your boy Tua, his physical therapist has said that his hip, the recovery that he's had already, is miraculous. And he's out there training already. All the quotes that I see about him, I've never seen anyone as focused on an upcoming season as Tua is right now. He is looking strong. He is geared up and ready to go. And physically, he's starting to look good too. So what is the excitement level for Tua? And do we need to ratchet down our Ryan Fitzpatrick love a little bit? Because Tua looks like he might be able to step in sooner rather than later.
Well, Tua is hashtag blessed. He's a gifted individual, and he's the savior of the Miami Dolphins. I still temper expectations, because I like Brian Flores. I think he's going to use his brain here. Run Fitzpatrick out there. The Dolphins are another year away. If you know halfway through the season they're competing for something, go for it with Tua. But you don't want to waste Tua on a year as you're still rebuilding things. You're going to have a bunch of draft picks next year where you can really load up. Then it's Tua time. I don't want to see him just get blitzed and bombarded just yet. There's weapons there. It could be fun. I could be totally wrong, because there's a lot to like there, and I keep seeing the Chan Gailey likes to run 4 wide and all these things. Like, there's going to be some fun with Tua time. But right now, let Fitzpatrick do his thing, at least for the first half of the year, because Joe Pisapia cannot be correct on how many games Tua plays. That would be a crime to humanity, because if anybody would remind us over and over again how correct he'd be, it'll be Joe Pisapia, and none of us want that. None of us do.
Not a single person.
I'm pumped on it, though. I'm pumped, but I'm also pumping the brakes that people need to just let him do his thing. You can be very athletic and excited when there's no contact involved.
And I will say this, like, as much as I love reading this, because you always want to read a guy is so much better than a guy is, you know, we had stuff about, you know, Hockenson not being 100% yet and, you know, Alshon Jeffrey not being 100% yet and stuff like that. You'd much rather hear positive news than negative news, of course, but this is peak off season type of stuff. And this is peak June type of stuff where it's, hey, this guy who might be able to play this year is looking pretty good and he's looking pretty healthy. Maybe we should all start worrying about him. Maybe we should all start thinking about taking him in our fantasy draft. So that is kind of peak off-season clickbaity type of stuff, which isn't wrong. You know, clickbait stuff isn't always terrible, but it is, you know, a little bit disingenuous, I would say, a little bit. But that is going to wrap it up for segment two of In This League on the Sports Grid. Stick with us. Bubba and I are going to talk about Kyrie Irving and a little bit of NBA in the last segment of this show. So we'll be right back after this break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back. You hear Endless Love. You guys know what that means. It is the end of the three-hour tour with myself, Casey Bubba at BDentric on the Twitter machine, the Welsh at Is It The Welsh, myself at Bogman Sports on the Twitter. And if you would, please go check out our Patreon. It is patreon.com/ITL Army, where, you know, for as little as $5, you get all kinds of great information. The secret shows that we've been doing, this one, the Welsh described it as, you know what, let's go ahead and let that one just slide, not promote it too much, because I have some internal struggles. That I may laugh at inappropriate things that we talk about. But we have 80 other secret shows up there as well that are all pretty funny. And I know you guys will enjoy if you like the Welsh and I's humor. We have rankings. I've got PPR rankings. I've got dynasty rankings. I've got first year player draft rankings. The Welsh has 500 deep minor league baseball rankings, you know, live streams that I do twice a week. And this, as we're recording it, we're also streaming it to our captains from the captain's room. So some people can watch this live and we can get some feedback and comments as we go too. So that is enjoyable. But, you know, just check it out. And inthisleague.com will take you right there. If patreon.com/ITL Army is just too much to remember, or if you can't think of it off the top of your head, you forget it later, inthisleague.com will absolutely take you right to that page as well. So, Bubba, a little bit of NBA talk at the end here. You know, Kyrie Irving has come out. You know, Kyrie Irving always has something to say.
Hot take machine.
Never, ever at a loss for an opinion. No. And some of his opinions in the past have been kind of goofy. You know what I mean? I actually kind of like this one. I like the, hey, look, maybe the players should start their own league, because honestly, I had that thought process about baseball with the two sides being so argumentative. The problem is there's a couple problems structurally with starting your own league, and you can ask Vince McMahon that. I think the biggest hurdle is organization. Like, all these guys are millionaires. Kevin Durant's a millionaire. So is Kyrie Irving. And a lot of, you know, if LeBron was going to get involved, the players could do this. But organizing it and investing in, you know, losing your money for 3-4 straight years is a big ask of anyone, even millionaires. That's why billionaires are the people that own the teams, because they can lose hundreds of millions of dollars year after year before they start making profits and be okay. There's almost no one in that situation. And that's, you know, groups own teams too. It's not usually one guy. One guy owns a majority stake, but
the Dolphins have a buying group.
Right. The Dolphins have a buying group. The Packers are owned by the city. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of different situations. It's not just, you know, it's not all billionaires that own a team and stuff like that. So it's just a hard thing to fight through. And I think Kyrie Irving's thing, and why people laugh at him and say this isn't a real thing, is because whatever the popular opinion is, Kyrie Irving is going to push back against it and question it. I don't hate that mindset. I actually like it. You know, when someone tells you something definitive and you say, well, why? And they can't give you a good answer, fight back and do the research yourself. Go learn yourself and say, well, this is why. And sometimes you're going to come out and say, well, they were right. They don't know why they're right, but they were. Or you can say, no, you're wrong, and you didn't do any of the research. You just trusted sources and all that stuff. So he does push back against, you know, authority and popular opinions and stuff like that. But he's done it so much, it's almost the boy who cried wolf type of a situation here. And I think this idea would garner more respect among NBA players. And it already has. There are plenty of players that are not happy with this bubble. I don't know that all of the players that aren't happy about bubble living are also on Kyrie's side, as far as, you know, he made a great point as far as if we start playing, you know, all of this work we've done for the Black Lives Matter movement and social change and policy change and all that stuff, now it goes towards more of who scored how many points last night. And I understand that mindset wholly and completely. And he has a great point there. I think the NBA works best with its players out of any league. You know, the NFL kind of doesn't care. They're just like, yeah, we'll figure it out and they'll do what we say. Baseball is push and shove, you know, obviously right now being the big contentiousness. Basketball has done a great job of, you know, involving the players more, because they know the players build the NBA. If there's no stars in the NBA, there is no NBA. So they know that the players are the bread and butter. It's also, you have less people to contend with, because with baseball, you have, you know, your 40-man roster and your six levels of all that stuff. In basketball, it's a 15-man roster and a practice squad. So you got about 20 guys. You know, it's not, you're not 100 players deep like the NFL is and all that stuff. So I think that Kyrie is right and wrong, and I think that sometimes people just don't take him seriously. So I'll pass the buck over to you here, Bubba. What are your thoughts on what Kyrie has been saying, and why it may not be taken as seriously as it possibly could be?
Well, a couple things. The boy who cried wolf thing makes it very difficult to take him seriously. Second off, it's hard to take anybody seriously that still thinks the world is flat. So that
I think he said that was a joke. I don't think it was a joke, but I think that was him. I think that was him just challenging a popular thought.
You know what I mean? And I'm all for people. Well, the thing is, it's not a popular thought. It's proven.
Yeah, it's proven.
It's different. Me saying I'm going to lose 100 pounds by the end of the month, that's a popular thought. You can challenge that all you want. But I do agree that it's good that they want to make sure the movements and all that. But love them or hate them, Michael Wilpon made a great point. And he said the NBA going back to the bubble to play 6 games a day or whatever, the spotlight's on you. You can promote this thing and grow it even more doing that than by walking in a street of 1,000 people or doing that. You know, when there's been problems in the past, we see them all wear warm-up shirts. And it makes and it brings to light so many things. They can write on their sneakers because, like you said, the NBA has embraced the players and let their personalities come out. There's so many ways that they could use the bubble as a platform because all eyes are going to be on the NBA. That's at least throughout some point in that day, there's going to be a different set of eyes on a game there because there's been games all day long. There's going to be a ton of ways to promote whatever you're trying to promote. And that's the thing that I think they need to rally around there. And the other reason why it's hard to trust Kyrie is he's already kind of like said, I'm not playing anyways because he's hurt and all this stuff.
Right.
So it's like, well, we really don't care if you're going to play. Like, just retire and go join Ice Cube's Big Three League with all the other retired guys. Like, that's what you can go do. So it's kind of tricky to see. Kyrie's not the spokesman that you need. There's other guys I know that are with him. I think they need to realize instead of just kind of boycotting the bubble, they should embrace the bubble and how they can use that to expand their message because the bubble's happening with or without him.
Right, right. And, you know, there's been some pushback from that, too, from other NBA players. I mean, Austin Rivers brought up a great point where he said, why would we not play when we can play and get paid the millions of dollars that we can and then use that money to impact change, you know, whether it's on a social level or a policy level, whatever that is. And so he has a great point there as well. So there are players that have pushed back, and Kendrick Perkins, who I don't like, and I'll just admit that right now. I'm not a big fan of Perk. I think that he gets into people's business a little bit too much. He gets into their money a little bit too much. But, you know, when he makes a good point, he makes a good point. And I'm the biggest Kevin Durant fan that there is, you know. But Kevin Durant calling Perkins a sellout because he had a good point is just not a good look. It's not, and no one cares what Kevin Durant says anyway because he's been known to go on social media under ghost accounts and, you know, defend himself that way and stuff. So it's hard after knowing that you've done something like that to be taken very seriously in things like this. But what Perkins said was, look, Maya Moore left the WNBA to go make change. She gave up her career to do it. So when Kyrie says something along the lines of, you know, I would give up everything I own to, you know, change the narrative and to change how, you know, the things have been going on for social change and policy change, all that stuff. Kendrick Perkins basically said, don't talk about it, be about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? He said, if you're going to say something like this, don't say that you are willing to, just go do it. And like I said, I don't agree with what Kendrick Perkins says most of the time. And I think this is wrapping up when he says something like that, there's a much broader picture than don't say about it, be about it. You know what I mean? Don't talk about it, be about it. There's much more that goes on behind that because I think Rivers is right. Go get the money and use the money that you can because, you know, I talked about how I have fatigue about, you know, people talking about baseball. These demonstrations are great, but you can already see the fatigue that people are having about the demonstrations that are happening. They're, you know, it's not that they're not impactful, but if they happen every day they become less impactful. So take some of that money. You said you had a great point as well. Get eyes on you and use your money to impact change and tell people to vote and help people vote and educate people that are voting.
Educating is the biggest thing. And it's not even just voting. Like, I think they need to find ways. If you want, spend your money to start educating, like, the educational system. Because, kids can't get fed properly. Like, and it starts at that level.
And LeBron has already done that. LeBron has already done
that. That's the kind of stuff, though, they need to focus on. You know, start them young and get everything fixed up that way. So when they're grown-ass adults, that, like, we can make the change. You can't just do it overnight, as sad as it sounds.
Of course.
That's the world we live in. So we got to start looking at all those angles. But voting's another one too, and a lot of it's just the whole political system. I don't want to get into that, and because it's not even a left or right thing. It's just the way the system is. It's a mess, and he's been fixed. But
yeah, you're absolutely right. And so I think I've been critical on Kyrie because I don't think Kyrie cares about basketball at all, and he's said so as much. You know, this is what I'm good at. It's not what I am, and that's more than fine. There are plenty of guys that play basketball, play baseball, play football, whatever, because they're good at it, not because they necessarily like it, but they can make a ton of money. Yeah, they can make a lot of money, and it's better than, you know, hating digging ditches and having to do that. You know, if you can get paid a lot of money and you still hate it, I mean, there's a lot of people that don't like showing up to work. So, you know, that's more than fine. And I don't begrudge Kyrie for saying that he doesn't like basketball, but it's tough to be a team leader or any type of leader when you kind of throw your sport and what other guys love passionately under the bus and say, well, you know, I don't see myself playing basketball into my 30s. He said that before, which is kind of crazy to me. It's not like it would make more sense for a football player to say that because of CTE, something like that. If for a basketball player to not, I mean, he has injury stuff now, of course, and he has had in the past as well. But, you know, to say I'm just can't see myself playing in my 30s when that's a normal thing is kind of strange. So do you actually want to make a basketball league because this is something you're passionate about? Or are you trying to get eyes on you and get attention? And I just don't know. I just don't know with Kyrie because he has a past. Yeah.
That's what's hard right now is the past makes you feel like he's doing this to get attention because he's not even going to play in the bubble anyway. So it's like, well, what are we talking about here? But it's not like he's not trying to say the right thing, but when it's Kyrie, it's hard to believe if it's the right thing. So it's tricky. It's real tricky.
And before, you know, George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement really stepping into the spotlight again, Kyrie was talking about going to Orlando to be in the bubble just to support his teammates.
Yeah.
So I don't know where the change happened.
And he can do that, and he could wear a shirt the entire time promoting
things. Of course.
Like, not even just, there's ways to do it besides not playing basketball. Like, playing basketball is one of the best ways to do it. That's the way I look at it.
Right, exactly. It's a means to an end. Yes. Even if you don't like basketball, you don't like the people involved, it is a means to an end. So, I'm arguing my side because I just want to see basketball come back too. You know, that's definitely in it. But also, Kyrie has been, he's just a polarizing character. And it's interesting to see his response to the stuff going on in the country right now. But I thought this quote was very, and we only have about 2 minutes left, but Patrick Beverley, who's one of my favorite NBA players, he's a dog. He is an absolute scrapper. Love him. Love his effort. He's one of the most passionate players ever to play basketball. And to watch him and hear him say, hey, look, this really comes down to LeBron. If LeBron plays, we all play. I think it's kind of silly to say it's all on one person, but I also don't think he's wrong. I think that is the right, maybe it's not the right mindset, but it is truth. If LeBron plays, everyone's going to follow LeBron. What did you think about Patrick Beverley saying that?
No, it's 100% true. If LeBron said we're not playing because of X, Y, or Z, there'd probably be 75% of the league saying, yeah, we're not playing. The second LeBron's been pro playing this whole time. There's been groups, little facets, like Carmelo's been a group and Dwight Howard, these guys are saying they're not going to play. And everyone's like, whatever, LeBron's playing. Like, we're gonna go play. It's pretty simple because it's the truth. As long as Bron wants to go play and hoop it up and win that crown for the Lakers, there's gonna be almost everybody there that can play. There's no way around that. He speaks it and he backs it up, and they're gonna play basketball. And a lot of it's because of LeBron. That's why it's gonna happen.
Right, you're absolutely right about that. Well, that is gonna wrap it up for today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Remember, you can follow us all on the Twitter machine at Bogman Sports for me, at BD Entrick for Bubba, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. We will be back next Saturday, hopefully with baseball, hopefully with basketball ready to go, and hopefully with fewer COVID cases and all that good stuff. So, wash your hands, stay safe, and we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.